Good morning, everyone. How has your week been, I wonder? It's been great to meet some of you in person this week, and I look forward to meeting more of you in the coming weeks. I have a question for you. Can you name four things that come to mind when I say the word family? Now, can you name four things that come to mind when I say the word church? I'd genuinely love to know what you were thinking of. Very soon I'll have an email and phone number up and running, so maybe you could hold that thought and let me know. Over the coming weeks, we're going to be exploring church and what that means. When I grew up, the four words that came to mind when the word church was said would probably have been Sunday, building, people, Bible. I diligently went to church on a Sunday, not just the morning and evening services, but also led Sunday school before the morning service, went to a crusader group during the afternoon, and a youth group after the evening service. That's five different activities on a Sunday, every week, month in, month out, year after year. Reflecting on that recently, I realised just how much my life revolved around church. It was good and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I grew in my faith and met lifelong friends and a husband on the way. However, I had little time for school friends outside of school. I just saw my church friends at events and on Sundays, and I never questioned my faith, so wasn't able to have anything other than trite, off-pat answers to any questions friends might have. It was safe and predictable. In Matthew 16, verses 18, Jesus is speaking to his follower Peter, and Jesus tells him that he, Jesus, will build his church and it will not be overcome. God himself is building his church. As a young Christian, I thought that I was doing that. I was faithfully attending every meeting and inviting friends, who actually very rarely took up the offer, and who could blame them? I never had time for them outside of school. I was too busy with church. Over the coming weeks, we'll be exploring just what instructions Jesus left with us. We'll look together at how church operated in the past, from the Old Testament right up to the present day. We'll examine the identity, character and calling of church and see how all these fit in with worship and mission. And you won't just be hearing from me. And you've probably guessed it, we're not talking about a building or a Sunday service. God's church is broader and deeper than simply that. What goes on inside the building is important, but it isn't central to following Jesus. We're only there for a couple of hours after all. And in the current climate, we're not there at all. So we'll be exploring discipleship too, and how we can grow in every sphere of our lives, every day of the week, not just on Sundays. Our reading is from Matthew chapter 16 and verses 1 to 18. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They discussed this among themselves and said, "It's because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You have little faith. Why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. The religious leaders, more often than not, get a bad press, but they were thorough, meticulous and scrupulous, in fact, in keeping the rules, which is no bad thing in and of itself. However, they got so caught up in trying to keep to the letter of the law that they missed the point and did things which weren't in the spirit of the law at all. There are not many people who don't like to have some kind of guide, some of us more detailed than others, but the Pharisees were overly concerned by not having the rules written and followed to the letter. The freedom that Jesus offered people downright scared them. But as we were thinking about last week, sometimes new things are difficult to discern. But that doesn't mean that they're wrong. It simply means that God reveals his plans when God reveals his plans. We can't argue with that. Part of maturing in our faith means being free not to do what is expected, free to hear God's still, small voice, free to be who he has called us to be, free to be where and when he calls us, despite what others might say or think. Unlike the Pharisees who wanted finicky structure, we should aim to be happily uncomfortable with God's unstructured way of doing things. It's both exciting and unnerving. I've talked with a couple of people recently who have said as much, and it's Richard Child who coined the phrase happily uncomfortable, which I hope might become part of the vocabulary light of life. The Pharisees were so afraid of living without structure and maintaining the status quo that they killed Jesus rather than accept the life and freedom he offers. They were unhappily comfortable. God is supernatural. He moves in mysterious ways. He does things that are beyond our understanding. So we shouldn't be surprised when he says he is building his church that it doesn't always look as we expect it to. He is free and generous, scattering seed which pops up and flourishes in areas where we hadn't planted it or planned on it growing. We must see where God's church is growing and join with him, not try to do our own thing. In our reading, the disciples at first misunderstood Jesus' warning about them listening too closely to the establishment, using yeast as a metaphor. These things can consume us and spread without realising. Generally, the worldview we have as 21st century Christians is still pretty fond of relying on established patterns. However, the worldview of the average 21st century person questions hierarchy and established norms on a near daily basis. I wonder if that's why one of the reasons why a traditional view of church no longer seems to be appealing to people. Maybe God's rhythm is freer than we have maintained. Last week I told you how I'm learning to embrace the chaos of my study, which needs some decorating. My boxes of books aren't yet opened as I'm waiting on shelving. And I wanted to grab a commentary earlier, which is in one of the 18 boxes squeezed under the stairs. Which box do you think it was in? Yep, I had to physically move all 18 boxes before I found it in the very last one. I think God might be telling me not to rely so much on my books, which are part of my structure and safety, but rather to rely on his spirit guiding me. He's shaking up my established way of working when I write, and I'm happily uncomfortable with it. Our world is changing exponentially. COVID has acted as a catalyst in many areas of life, including our thinking about what church actually is. During lockdown, over 50 Eastern Baptist Association, or EBA ministers, met over Zoom to discuss our thoughts on what God might be saying to us through the pandemic. These included things like the potential for being more missional and releasing the amount of attention and resources that go into gathering every Sunday, which instead can be invested into small groups and mission. Jesus' parting words to us were to go and make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and to teach them to live in a way he taught. He didn't go and say, "Go meet together and sing and listen to a sermon for at least an hour and a half every 7 days, preferably on a Sunday. And of course, do all you can to get those who aren't there in the door too." But more often than not, this is where we've ended up. Go and make disciples. There's lots in the Bible about discipleship, but the word church, in Greek ecclesia, is only used twice in the whole Bible, here and in Matthew 18, verse 17. Both times it simply refers to a community of believers. Is that how you think of Light of Life, I wonder? Does our way of being church achieve that in the 21st century, or have we added on lots of other bits, with the best intentions, of course? Yes, sometimes it is just that. But could there be another way to achieve this in a world with a wealth of technological advances, but a vast and growing loneliness due to too little authentic relationship? What do you think? Pre-COVID, the doors of churches up and down the country weren't lined with people waiting to get in, worried that they couldn't get a seat. Maybe there are other ways to make disciples and be church together. In Luke 10, verses 27, when Jesus was asked to the greatest commandment, he replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." I think church, with a big C, has been very, very good at loving God with our minds. We've aced in our theoretical knowledge and understanding. We've studied, increased our head knowledge, listened to long monologue sermons, written books, and maybe grown a little fat on it all. As someone with a theology degree, I do realise the irony in what I'm saying. Church has operated well for hundreds of years, since the 4th century in this way. Could it be possible that God is shaking us up a little to think of other ways we can meet to encourage each other, grow, pray, learn and share communion at his table? Maybe all of us need our books packed away in boxes, our securities and rigid structures reimagined in the light of the freedom of Christ, who really didn't stipulate much as he left his believers to return to his Father. Peter declared Jesus as the Messiah. He recognised that it is in Jesus that God's purposes are fulfilled. The one who turned humanity's expectations of a saviour on its head. The one who challenged the Pharisees because of their limiting restrictions. We have restrictions due to COVID at present, but they won't be here forever despite seeming that way at times. We have freedom in Christ, who is our foundation, to go and make disciples. Let's discover together the best way we can do that. There are no restrictions on the way in which we do. So let's have some fun. Try some new things, make some new friends, deepen our faith and encourage each other as we do. We can so easily fall into the trap of forgetting the reasons why we do things, embarking in a certain direction, putting strategies in place, but getting caught up in doing and maintaining those strategies that we begin to forget what we were seeking to achieve in the first place. The four words that come to mind now when I think of church are Jesus, discipleship, encouragement and communion. These aren't exclusive and they will undoubtedly change over time. Maybe your four words might change and develop over the coming weeks too, and they don't have to be the same as mine. I'll be delivering some blank jigsaws for the younger children so they can add their ideas to all the different facets that make up church at Light of Life. Let's be happily uncomfortable as we explore church outside of the structures we have come to rely on. Let's do this together, listening to and supporting one another as we make disciples and God builds his church. Let's pray together. Lord God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, today we honour this life you have made with all its potentials and possibilities. We begin our day with trust, knowing we are created for loving encounter. We begin our day with hope, knowing the day can hold love, kindness, forgiveness and justice. We make room for the unexpected. May we find wisdom and hope in the unexpected. Help us to embrace possibility, respond graciously to disappointment, and hold tenderly those we encounter. Help us to be fully present to this day. We pray for those whose day will be difficult. May we support, may we listen, may we encourage. We resolve to live life in all its fullness. We will welcome the people who will be part of this day. We'll greet God in the ordinary and hidden moments. May we find the wisdom we need, and may we hear the needs of those we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.